The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary in the first century, and he announced to her that she was going to bear a son. He told her that she was going to bear a son without ever having any relationship with any man whatsoever. He also revealed to her that this child would be called the Son of God. And he answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke 1, verse 35. The Son of God. Seven individuals or groups of individuals in the first century, while Jesus was here upon this earth, admitted and confessed that he was the Son of the living God. John the Baptist, Nathanael, several times the demons, the disciples after Jesus had calmed the stormy seas of Galilee, Peter on at least two occasions, Martha, and then lastly, the centurion at the foot of the cross. My friends, that confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is essential to every man living today, is it not? That is, if those individuals are interested in their soul's salvation. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 John 4, verse 15. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. When I'm studying with young people, I bring them into my office and I say, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?" And most of them will respond, "Absolutely, yes." I say, "That's good. My next question is this, but what does it mean?" That's when they start hee-hawing. They start stammering, they start stuttering, and they say, "Well, I don't know if I really know what that means." My friends, it's hard to confess something that you don't know what you're talking about, isn't it? We are to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. What does that mean? It's very simple. I am confessing that Jesus is God. That's what I'm confessing. I believe that Jesus is deity. I believe that Jesus is divinity. I believe that Jesus is one of the members of the Godhead. My friends, the Jews of the first century understood that. The Bible says in John 5, verse 18, "And they sought the more to kill him, because that not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father." Now listen to this. "Making himself equal with God." You see, the Jews got it. When Jesus came to this earth and he acknowledged that he is the Son of the living God, he was making himself equal with God himself. To make the good confession is to confess that I believe that Jesus is God. Now, there are some religious groups today who would like for us to believe that they are, quote, Christian, end quote, groups. And yet they have a very, very perverse, warped concept of who Jesus Christ really is. And we need to understand that when we're talking to these individuals. One of these groups refers to themselves as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, if you were to ask them, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Guess what they would say? Yes. And you would think, well, they believe exactly what we believe. But folks, they do not. They believe that Jesus existed in three different forms. They refer to these three forms as his pre-human state, his human state, and his post-human state. Now, those three words in and of themselves have nothing wrong with them, do they? Because Jesus did exist in those three conditions, didn't he? But what you need to understand is what they believe about Jesus in each one of those conditions. And in his pre-human state, they believe that Jesus was nothing more than a created being. They refer to him as an angel. In fact, they believe that he was Michael, the archangel. We want to, in this lesson, begin a study, and we'll conclude it next Sunday evening, entitled, Jesus, Eternal, Not Created. And we're going to study just a little bit about this Jehovah's Witness doctrine of Jesus being a created being. The first point, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe Jesus is a created being. Well, Vic, you already said that. Well, folks, it's one thing to say it, isn't it? And it is a whole different thing for me to stop for a moment and to prove to you that is exactly what they believe. So what I want to do is I want to read to you from two of their publications. These publications were printed by the Watchtower Society, the spokesman of the Jehovah's Witness cult. Oh, that's not a very nice word, is it? Folks, the reason they're not viewed as a cult any longer today is because they have grown so large. Now they're just referred to as the Jehovah's Witness denomination. But when they originated, when they began, guess what they were? They were a cult. And one of the aspects of a cult is they have a warped view of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do they really believe that Jesus was a created being? Let me read for you from two of their books. One of them is entitled, Should You Believe in the Trinity? Is Jesus the Almighty God? This comes from page 14. Listen to what they say. Speaking of Jesus, but was it as of one of the persons in an almighty triune Godhead? No. For the Bible plainly states that in his pre-human existence, Jesus was a created being, just as the angels were spirit beings created by God. Neither the angels nor Jesus existed before their creation. In another book entitled Let God Be True, page 32, listen to what they write. This one, talking about Jesus, was not Jehovah God, but was existing in God's form. How so? He was a spirit person, just as God is a spirit. He was a mighty one, although not as mighty as Jehovah God is. Also, he was before all others of God brought forth. Hence, he is called the only begotten Son of God, for God had no partner in bringing forth his first begotten Son. He was the first of Jehovah's creations. My friends, they believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was a created being. When they come to your door and they knock on your door and they say, hello, how are you? We are of the Jehovah's Witnesses. You need to ask them a question. You know what? The other day my preacher was preaching about you guys. And I got a question that I need to ask you. He said, y'all believe that Jesus was a created being. Is that true? Guess what? They will not deny it. They will not hide it. And they will say absolutely yes. He's right. I am not misrepresenting them, folks. Now, I know you and I are sitting here scratching our heads, aren't we? A created being. I heard somebody a while ago when I first said that. They go, ooh! Couldn't believe. You mean they actually believe this? Yes. The question is, how so? Did you listen to one of their quotes a while ago? Listen to what it says. No. Talking about that he is not eternal God. No. For the, ready? Bible plainly states that in his pre-human existence, he was a created being. Isn't that amazing? They believe that the Bible teaches that Jesus was a what? Created being. Amazing, isn't it? Now, folks, you'll find this to be true among many in the religious world. They will tell you they believe that the Bible is the Word of God, won't they? And many times, when they state a point to you, guess what they do? They go into the Bible and they will bring forth a verse in an attempt to prove to you what they believe is true. That's a good thing, isn't it? I'm glad they believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I'm glad that they believe they need proof texts to prove what they believe is true. Aren't you? The problem is, the passages that they use are perverted and warped and misunderstood. Now what we're going to do in the remainder of this lesson, very simply, is we're going to look at three of the predominant proof texts used by the Jehovah's Witnesses to prove that Jesus is a created being. Okay, now remember, these are their proof texts. This is what they're going to go to. You're going to ask that person at the door, my preacher said that you believe Jesus is a created being. Is that true? Oh yes, we believe that. And guess what, folks? They're not going to back up at that point. Here's why I believe that. And they're going to know these passages better than you know these passages. And they're going to study them with you, so you better be ready. You're going to write them down? Proverbs 8:22. Colossians 1:15 and 18. I put all that in one passage. Colossians 1:15 and 18. And Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Those are the three passages. We're going to look at each one of those, and we're going to examine them, and we're going to talk about them for just a few minutes. Proverbs 8, verse 22 in the King James Version says this, "For the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His ways, before His works of old." Now, you're scratching your head and saying, you mean to tell me they believe that verse teaches that Jesus is a created being? Yep. Now, I have up here a copy of the New World Translation of the Scriptures. Now, folks, this is the Bible of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay? This is their Bible. This has been printed by the Watchtower Society. Okay. If you want to have a belief, you want to know one of the best ways to do it? Make your own Bible. Okay? I want you to listen to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22 in the New World Translation. Jehovah Himself produced me at the beginning of His way, the earliest of His achievements of long ago. Now, if you go into the context of Proverbs 8, you're going to find that what's being discussed there is the subject of wisdom. In fact, chapters 1 all the way through chapter 9 is a discussion of wisdom. And it is interesting that in those chapters, you're going to find wisdom personified. It is as if wisdom takes on its own personality, that it becomes a person. There are some interpreters of the Bible who believe that wisdom in these chapters is really Jesus Christ. Okay, just be aware of that. There are some interpreters of the Bible who say that wisdom in Proverbs 1 through 9 is really Jesus Christ. That is exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. In a book entitled, What Has Religion Done for Mankind? Commenting on Proverbs 8:22, they write the following. In the Proverbs of Wisdom, he, Jesus, speaks of himself as wisdom and calls attention to his being a creation of the eternal heavenly Father. Now, folks, let's go back to this passage again. Remember, they believe what? They believe that wisdom is who? Jesus Christ. Now listen to the passage. Jehovah himself produced me as the beginning of his way. Who is the me? Wisdom. Who is the me? Jesus Christ. The earliest of his achievements of long ago. So they see there? Jesus is talking in the book of Proverbs, and he says that Jehovah God did what? Produced him, made him, created him. In fact, he is the earliest of God's achievements. And you're scratching your head, saying, I've never heard that in all my life. Isn't that right? And you're reading from the King James Version, and guess what? It doesn't even read the same, does it? The Lord possessed me from the beginning of his way, before his works of old. You're going, where do you get this stuff? Right? Where do you get this? How do you answer this? Okay? It's real simple. Very simple. First thing you need to understand is what you don't do. Okay? Do not deny that the Hebrew word in Proverbs 8:22 means create. Don't deny that. Okay, because if you do, they're going to go to some of the greatest scholarly works, some of the lexicons, and guess what they're going to show you? They're going to show you that the word translated possessed in the King James Version can be translated create and is translated that way in other passages. So don't deny that. Okay, you'd be crazy to do that. You're automatically going to kill yourself. Okay? So, Vic, what do we do? How do we answer this? Here's the way you answer it. Do not let them make the jump from wisdom to who? To Jesus. There's where the error comes, folks. See? Their jump from wisdom to Jesus is an assumption, is it not? There is no Bible passage that ties Jesus to this wisdom in Proverbs 8. You have to assume that. Guess who is being spoken of in Proverbs 8? Wisdom. That's it. Wisdom. And what he's talking about is this. Wisdom has existed long before what? The creation of God. Wisdom has existed long before the foundations of the earth were laid. Folks, if wisdom is that old, then guess what? It is absolutely essential for each one of us to follow it. It's older than I am. It's older than you are. It's older than this earth is it not? True wisdom
is deserving of man's following. The Lord possessed me from when? From the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Wisdom's been around a long, long time. So don't let them make the jump to wisdom. Tell them, I'm not going there with you. I don't believe that's talking about Jesus Christ. It is not talking about Jesus Christ. It is talking about who? Wisdom, and that's all. Don't let them play that game with you. And they'll say, okay, got to go somewhere else. Go over in your Bible to Colossians 1. Verse 15 and verse 18. Folks, there's two statements in Colossians 1. One of them is found in verse 15. One of them is found in verse 18. That the Jehovah's Witnesses rely on for their supposed proof. Okay? One of them is found in verse 15. Jesus is being talked about by Paul. There's several descriptive statements being stated about the Christ in this particular passage of Scripture. Listen to what he says in verse 15. The firstborn of what? The creation of God. He's the firstborn of the creation of God. The first what? The firstborn. They say, see there, he is the first one to be what? Created. He's the firstborn. Now look at verse 18. For he is the head of the body, the church. What's the next statement? Who is the beginning? They say, see there, Jesus had a what? He had a beginning. He is the beginning. Of what? Of God's creation. He's the firstborn of the creation of God. He is the beginning of the creation of God. He was the very first being God what? Created. Now we're getting a little bit more potent than we are over here in Proverbs 8:22, aren't we? Because you see, I don't know what the meaning of all these words are. I've never studied all this kind of stuff. I don't know what the meaning of the word beginning is. I don't know what it means. Firstborn of the creation of God. And sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And so we're scratching our heads again. We got no answers for these folks. We're hee-hawing and stuttering around. We're running off to other passages because we know a couple of other passages. But we're not able to answer this passage. Folks, the answer lies right within the passage, doesn't it? Now remember, let's get their reasoning. They say Jesus is the first what? Created being. You got that? Hold them to the fire. You ready? Look at verse 16. For all things were created by who? By him, Jesus. I want you to underline that little word, all. For all things were created by him, whether they be in heaven or in earth, visible or invisible, principalities or powers, thrones, dominions, all things were created by him and for him, all things. Okay. Jesus created what? All things. He is a created being. Therefore, does anybody get the conclusion? He must have created himself. Has to be, doesn't it? Has to be. If Jesus created all things and he is a created being, then he created himself. And that is an illogical impossibility. Can't do that, folks. A created being cannot create himself. It's impossible. So you see, right in the very text, they have a problem, don't they? Well, where our problem is this. If that be the case, and folks, there's your answer. Stick to that, okay? Don't move away from that. Hold their feet to the fire. They cannot answer that. It's an impossibility to answer that.
Jesus cannot create himself.
But yet, the Bible says he created what? All things. Okay? So just hold their feet to the fire. Now, for us who are looking at this passage and wanting some understanding and wanting some kind of an interpretation, our question is this: what does this text really mean then? That he is the firstborn of the creation. And that he is the beginning. What does that mean, folks? All that means is this: he is the author. He is the originator. He is the starter. He is the one who began. He is the active force within the creation of God. If you want to point back to a beginning, if you want to point back to a starter, if you want to point back to a cause, guess who you point back to? You point all the way back to Jesus, the Son of the living God. He created all things. And that's all those words mean. Very simple, aren't they? Now, the final passage is Revelation 3, verse 14. What's interesting is, once you have the answer for Colossians 1, 18, you have the answer for Revelation 3, verse 14. In that passage, Jesus is writing to the church of the Laodiceans. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, thus saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the what? The beginning of the creation of God. Now that one's even more potent, isn't it? Now here's something that's interesting. The Greek word in Revelation 3:14, beginning, is not the same Greek word as found in Colossians 1:18. Who is the beginning? They're not the same Greek word. The Greek word here is arche, A-R-C-H-E, arche. And guess what it means? The originator. The beginner, the active force, the author of. It literally means that. Who is the what? The author of the creation of God. The active force of the creation of God. That's what that word means. Arche, the beginner, the active force, the author, the originator of the creation of God. But I want you to go to another passage. Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. Keep this passage in mind, because here the Greek word arche is being used again. I find it interesting in this text that the one who is speaking is God the Father, Jehovah. And he saith unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. Watch this. Beginning and what? End. Uh-oh. God says what? I, Jehovah God, I, the Father, am what? The beginning. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That's the Greek word arche. If that word means that Jesus had a beginning, that he was a created being, then guess what it means in Revelation 21:6? God the Father was what? A created being as well. And if not, why not? The words are identical. And guess what? They cannot answer it. They won't answer it. You want to know what they'll say if they do? Well, God the Father was the originator. He was the author. He was the active force. That's what that means. Well, that's exactly what I said it means in what? Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. We've proved three things tonight, or we've looked at three things tonight, folks. Number one, it is absolutely essential to our salvation that we understand Jesus is the Son of God. If you can't make that confession, if you refuse to make that confession, then you cannot be saved. It is an absolute impossibility to be saved and not make that confession. We have seen, secondly, that the Jehovah's Witnesses do not really understand the nature of the Son of the living God, do they? They believe that he is a created being, not eternal, just created. We have looked and examined their three proof texts and tried to give you some answers to those three texts. Now, next Sunday evening, come back, because it's about to get gooder. Okay? We're through with the bad part, the boring part, the technical part. Okay? Folks, this is the kind of stuff you have to do in order to answer false doctrine. You know it? You've got to know what they teach. You've got to know how they think. And you've got to be able to refute it. And folks, you don't need to be jumping all over the creation trying to disprove their doctrine. Stay right there in the text. Hold their feet to the fire, if you can, with a passage of Scripture. Don't let them off. Answer what I just said. But guess what? There is a ton of evidence in the Bible that shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is deity. He is God. He is the second member of the Godhead. And he is deserving of our worship and adoration. And we will prove that next Sunday evening. So come back. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, that is the foundational element of the church, is it not? And upon this rock, I will build my church, Jesus said. We must believe that. With every fiber of our being, we must believe that. Do you believe it? If you do, will you make the good confession? Having repented of your sins, being buried with our Lord in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of those sins, folks, then and only then are you a Christian. Dear child of God, have you lived your life as if you are truly subject to the Son of God? Maybe you need to repent. Yield yourself once again to Him, having confessed your sins. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?